This is Christopher O'Reilly, and welcome to this week's podcast of From the Top. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Today's show is presented by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, celebrating 20 years of investing in the creative potential of young people through its Youth Reach Initiative. And now here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. This week, we come to you from Calderwood Hall, the intimate chamber music space at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum here in Boston. Our host for the day, the Massachusetts Cultural Council, is hosting a conference of leaders from across the country who work at the intersection of the arts and youth development. And these fine and very good-looking people are in our audience today. In honor of this crowd, we're going to talk to a number of kids on today's show about the community music programs they've been a part of. Programs that reach out to kids who otherwise might not have any access to musical training. One of our favorite such organizations is right here in Boston. It's called Project Step. Tristan, why don't you describe Project Step since you were a part of it?
Well, Project Step is an organization that gives free scholarships to underrepresented Black and Latino musicians.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tristan Flores, our 15-year-old violinist from Lexington, Massachusetts. Please welcome him. Tristan, Project Step has been really pivotal to, well, to your even being a musician, isn't that correct?
Yes, definitely. They provided me with lessons with Donald Rothstein at NEC and chamber coachings and even the violin I'm playing on right now.
Wow. I'm happy to say you're also one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Tristan, you've earned all the support you've been given, as our listeners are about to find out. What are we going to play together?
We're going to play Saint-Saëns, Introduction, Rondo Capriccioso.
When you're all set, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
Tristan Flores, 15 years old, our violinist from nearby Lexington, Massachusetts, performing the introduction and Rondo Capriccioso by Camille Saint-Saëns. Tristan, I think it's safe to say that that's not the first time we've had that piece on the program, but there's something so compelling about, you don't do a set it and forget it tempo. Every moment of pulse is suffused with intent and passion, and it was a pleasure following you all the way through that. It was just so compelling.
Thank you.
So Tristan, you're obviously making music at a very high level. You're studying with Donald Weilerstein at New England Conservatory, thanks to Project Step, and last summer studying with another great violin pedagogue, Robert Lipset, at the Aspen Music Festival. You have a great story about a performance you gave in one of Lipset's studio classes.
Yes. So I was planning to play in Mr. Lipset's studio class, and on the day of the performance, I accidentally ate something I was allergic to. So I came to Mr. Lipset, and at that time, my throat was closing. Like, it was hard for me to breathe at that time. So I asked him, "Mr. Lipset, oh my God, I'm going to die. Like, I can't perform. I need to, like, reschedule my performance to next week." And he said, "How does that have anything to do with you performing at all?" And I said, "Okay." So then after that, I warmed up, and made a really great performance, and I didn't die. Thank God.
You didn't have to do a tracheotomy in midway through or anything like that.
No.
My gosh. Really sucking it up and getting through. Fantastic for you. So you rose to that challenge, but I understand that practicing for hours on end is not a huge challenge for you. Let's hear some advice.
Well, I practice about 4 to 5 hours every day. And so how I keep myself interested is by setting myself some goals every time I practice. What do I want to achieve? So I don't practice 4 to 5 hours straight. That's really long. No one does that. But I divide my practice into 1.5 hours or 2 hours, even sections. And I think about the goals I want, musical and technical, and infuse them into every practice session so that I get something productive.
You know, that starts making sense about the performance. Nothing is taken for granted, and every moment counts. And the goals really help that, I'm sure. Tristan, very good advice, and great playing with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Tristan Flores, 15-year-old violinist from Lexington, Massachusetts.
Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Hancock Foundation have awarded nearly $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer is an exceptional 18-year-old pianist who hails from nearby Dorchester. Her name is Phuong Nhi Pham, and she was a Jack Kent Cook young artist when she was on our show 4 years ago playing Mendelssohn. It's a pleasure to welcome you back, Fong Yi.
Thank you.
Tell everyone what you're going to play today.
I'm going to perform the Chopin Sonata No. 2, the first movement.
Fong Yi, talk about the amazing way you discovered this piece.
Well, I was on a piano tour to France with the New England Conservatory piano department, and we were at one of the museums where Chopin visited very often during the summers. And we were just walking along down the hallways and looking down at the rooms, as you do. And there was a piece playing over the speaker. And I didn't know what it was, but I just had to find out. And there was, 'cause there was a certain breathlessness in the piece that really captured my imagination. And I just had to figure out what it was and go home and study it and perform it. And this was the piece.
Thank you.
Pham, 18-year-old pianist from Dorchester, Massachusetts, playing the opening movement of Chopin's second piano sonata. Fong Ni, that was wonderful. And you mentioned the breathlessness of this piece. It reminded me of the one summer I studied with the great, late Patricia Zander, who always told me that there were no downbeats in Chopin. There were downbeats, but if it was a downbeat, it was a downbeat that you did on a trampoline. It was always a springboard for something else.
Right, so, to push you
so
forward.
There was, it wasn't so much a restlessness, but a buoyancy, right. I'd prefer to describe your playing. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful performance.
Thank you very much.
Fong Ni, you have a classic American story. You immigrated to Boston from Vietnam when you were 9 years old and ended up in one of the city's premier public schools, Boston Latin. And now you're off on a full ride to Amherst College next year. So tell me, what made you pick Amherst?
Amherst is a liberal arts school, and I think that's exactly what I'm looking for. Because right now, I don't know exactly what I want to do. But for the next 4 years, I would like to use them to just explore and try out different fields in different areas before I settle down to something. But music will definitely be part of that.
That's right. Yes. I'm not surprised to hear you're going to a liberal arts college. You are, in fact, a great writer. Talk about the letter you wrote. Who did you write to?
I wrote a letter about the importance of music education to the superintendent, because actually at the time, it was a couple of years ago, but my school was about to have a huge budget cut, and it was going to impact the music department the most, since they didn't think music was a part of the core curriculum. So that's partly why I decided to write the letter. And through that experience, it was the first time I actually put down in words what music meant to me and what music education meant to other young kids and young people.
It's a wonderfully impassioned piece of writing, and all of you can read it at fromthetop.org, Fong Ni Pham's Heiligenstadt Testament. You say music has been the one thread in your life. What do you mean by that?
Yes. So I began studying piano in Vietnam. And when we moved here, there was one gap year in which I didn't have a teacher because we didn't know exactly where to go. But we were lucky enough to be introduced to the New England Conservatory. And there, my study of music picked up again. But the threat was that while everything else was pretty much turned upside down by the moving to the U.S., music was that one constancy and that one thing that kept me, that grounds me, and that gives me a lot of comfort as I go back to it. So that's
constancy and solace.
Yes.
And grounding. I don't know, not terribly grounding. Very buoyant, I think, in your hands, Fong Ni. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Fong Ni Pham, 18 years old, our pianist, from the neighborhood of Dorchester here in Boston. Now it's time for some bone-rattling music from a group that hails from one of the most amazing community music schools in the country, the Merritt School of Music in Chicago. And speaking of bone-rattling, these four trombonists make up the Bone Rangers. Tanner Jackson, 18 years old, Alex Cusper, 15, Gabriel Ramos, 17, and Ivan Sines, 15. These guys are coached by Tim Reardon. They are performing a contemporary piece by Raymond Premrew, an American-born composer who was the bass trombonist for the Philharmonia Orchestra in London for 30 years. This is the presto from his Tissington Variations. Tissington is one of the most picturesque villages in England, but it has a dark side. This movement reflects a dark and stormy night in a haunted house. Thank you. The Bone Rangers, a teenage trombone quartet from the Merritt School of Music in Chicago, performing the Presto from the Tissington Variations by Raymond Frenmuir. We're going to talk briefly to two members of the Bone Rangers, Tanner Jackson and Ivan Sines. First of all, gentlemen, the Bone Rangers is a long-standing ensemble that has had various personnel over the years. Tim Reardon is a fantastic teacher and coach, and I have to say I got a spontaneous fan phone call about the Bone Rangers from none other than Gunther Schuller.
Really?
So you know, props to you guys. I mean, I don't think he's ever raved about a group as much as he did you. You know, it's no one, and this piece is a perfect example. You know, Tim picking a piece that's all about passing the material amongst yourselves. I mean, to really make a fine quartet, whether it's trombones or strings, you know, it's really very high-level ensemble playing, so I thank you for that. Ivan, both you and Gabriel Ramos have won our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Scholarships, and I understand you spent a little of that cash yesterday.
Yes, we went to the Shires Factory yesterday, and I actually got a Shires horn.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tanner, tell everyone about the Merritt School of Music. It's an incredible place.
It is. The Merritt School of Music is a music school located in downtown Chicago. Its main objective is to provide music education to kids mostly living in the city who, for the most part, don't have access to a good music education. So through various programs, both taking place at Merritt's facilities and like outreach programs that go to Chicago public schools, they're able to provide music education to a lot of kids who otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity.
Great thing. Ivan, you came to the Merritt School through something called the Bridges Program. Tell everybody about that.
Yes, the Bridges Program is a program where there are teachers that go into schools all around Chicago, and they recruit kids to go to the Merritt School of Music. And me personally, my sister, she was teaching at the school I was attending in fifth grade, and she helped me sign up to Merritt. It was definitely worth it.
Sign you right up. Good for your sis. I know the school and your coach, Tim Reardon, have helped you, Ivan, a lot personally. Tell everybody.
Yes, well, when I was growing up, I was always an overweight child. I would always get picked on a lot. My self-esteem was really low. And as soon as I met Timothy Reardon, I realized he was in my situation, but he was a very confident man. So I just had something to look up to. And then the environment at Merritt was very friendly. I never had to worry about being picked on. And it just helped me gain confidence.
Yeah, striving for excellence.
Yes. You know,
just fantastic. Great to have somebody believe in you, isn't it?
Yes.
There have been several iterations of the Bone Rangers over the years as different students have passed through the Merritt program. Tanner, with one of those earlier groups, you got to play a very cool gig.
I did. Two summers ago, the quartet was invited to play the national anthem before a Chicago Cubs game. And it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I imagine.
Basically, the four of us were brought down. We were just standing in a row out on the field, and you just look up and you see just tons of people, tons of cameras, and they're all just watching you because you're playing the national anthem.
Oh, my
and
God.
It's just, I was really nervous, but I was really excited, and it was just an amazing experience.
Really exhilarating experience.
Yeah.
Well, happily, you guys are going to come back to play at the end of the show. We're really going to look forward to that, and just a great performance, you guys.
Thank you.
Great to hear you again. The Bone Rangers, ages 15 to 18, from the Merritt School of Music in Chicago.
For behind-the-scenes stories, features on From the Top alumni, and videos of our wonderful young performers making music and getting out into the community beyond the concert hall, visit fromthetop.org/blog.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Calderwood Hall at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. Coming up, an exceptionally talented 17-year-old guitarist plays a piece that evokes Edgar Allan Poe's Fall of the House of Usher. Our performance here at the Gardner Museum is presented by the Massachusetts Cultural Council and made possible with support from the Barr and Slater Family Foundations and the Hunt Alternatives Fund. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Joining me on stage now is a fine 17-year-old cellist named Georgia Bourderione. Georgia, where are you from?
New Orleans.
We've been talking about community arts programs, and you attend one of the most well-known, the New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts. How many years have you studied there?
4 years. I've been very fortunate to attend throughout high school.
Tell everyone what we're going to be playing together.
We'll be playing the second movement from the Shostakovich Sonata for Cello and Piano.
Thank you.
Georgia Bourg de Rionnais, 17-year-old cellist from New Orleans, performing the second movement of the D minor cello sonata by Dmitri Shostakovich. Georgia is also one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Love playing that piece. My gosh, you have such a fiery energy about you with
Thank
that one.
Thank you so much.
And not afraid to go ahead and make the rough sounds that piece needs.
Right.
No pussyfooting around with that piece. It's wonderful. Wonderful the way you play it. Georgia, you discovered the cello at the end of Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
So how did that happen?
Well, actually, after the storm, I lived in L.A. for about 4 months. And then when I came back to New Orleans, we knew that there was a cello teacher in our neighborhood. So we ended up ordering a half-size instrument online. I was only 9.
A cello teacher just washed up on your front lawn?
No, but my father knew that she lived not far from our house. So I started taking lessons with her.
It's a great, great form of redemption after the storm. That's wonderful. Now, from your name, I'm guessing you have French roots.
Yes.
Your dad?
My dad is from France, and he immigrated from France to the United States. And my mom was born in America, but she has a kind of French background as well. So.
Now, with all of that Francophilia, for some reason, Korean culture has become a big thing in your life.
Yes, actually, I was quite interested in the language, and I ended up meeting a few Korean friends in New Orleans and also in France when I went to summer festivals. And through meeting people who didn't speak that much English or French, we kind of communicated through some Konglish, I guess. And I learned some Korean words and phrases, and they introduced me to some other elements of pop culture, like movies, and namely Korean pop music.
K-pop, yes. Really? You know, it's fun. I don't know what it is, but we had a soprano from Atlanta on the show singing Handel, very proper and wonderful, and she confessed to being a complete K-pop addict. She didn't speak a word of the language, but she had all the videos. She subscribed to the magazines, all everything. What is it about this? What's a nice classical cellist doing listening to Korean pop?
Oh, I think it's really the contrast for us between this and classical music, because I really love listening to classical music, and I listen to it a lot, and playing it all the time. It's really special, but then it's good to be able to listen to this and kind of like not worry about what I'm working on with my music and kind of turn my brain off. And it's just, I need it for like the moments where I'm not doing anything, when I'm brushing my teeth in the morning.
Excellent. Well, Korean aside, it's your French language skills that have come in handy in some really cool outreach activities you've done. Tell everybody about that.
Yes. Actually, my sophomore year, I, with the help of my previous teacher, Jean Jobert, I compiled a program of French cello music, all by French composers, and went and performed it in several French language schools throughout New Orleans, and accompanied with a French educational program, I guess, about the pieces. So, and it was very well received in all of the schools, and some of them had really prepared the students for it. And despite not having much exposure to classical music before, they ended up being interested, and I heard that they had communicated to my teacher that some of them started learning string instruments after my visit. So that was really fulfilling.
And this is some real grassroots venues. I mean, playing in cafeterias, trailers, all this stuff, and here you've made converts. Yeah. Through the universal language, of course. Well, we applaud your work and your beautiful playing.
Thank you so much, Georgia, for being with us.
Georgia Bourg de Rionnais, 17-year-old cellist from New Orleans.
Georgia's an intensely focused player. You can see her and all of the performers on today's show by checking out our video teaser at fromthetop.org. And while you're there, download our podcast and listen to our show whenever you want and wherever you go. That's fromthetop.org.
My name is David Steinar, and I'm 17 years old and play the classical guitar. I absolutely love roller coasters because of the adrenaline rush that I gain from riding them. I've been on some of the tallest, fastest, most gut-wrenching roller coasters in the world. One of my favorite rides that I've been on was the Top Thrill Dragster, located at Sierra Point, which is in Ohio. It accelerates you to 120 miles per hour in a matter of seconds, and you shoot up a tower that's over 420 feet high. Besides Top Thrill Dragster, there's still one roller coaster that I'd really love to go on. It's called Formula Rosa, and it's located in Abu Dhabi, and it accelerates you to 149 miles per hour, making it the fastest roller coaster in the world. There is one place that I don't want too much of an adrenaline rush, and this is the stage of a concert hall. To cope with pre-concert nervousness, I like to have a banana right before a performance. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to have one right now, right before I play. Hmm. I love bananas. Professor of guitar of Eastman School of Music, Nicholas Galousis, recommended to me in a masterclass to have a banana before I perform because apparently the potassium helps with coping with a bit of nervousness and also makes you perform better. The piece that I'll be playing is composed by Nikita Koshkin, and it's called The Usher Waltz. It's inspired by the short story Fall of the House of Usher, written by Edgar Allan Poe. As you'll hear, Koshkin captures the mood of the Poe's short story of insanity and mystery. Thank you.
David Steinhardt, 17 years old, our guitarist from Pittsford, New York, playing Nikita Koshchin's Usher Waltz. David's a student at the Eastman Community Music School in Rochester, New York. David, that was just extraordinary. What an extraordinary, evocative piece, and the range of dynamics, all the way from quadruple pianissimo to those Bartok pizzicatos. I bet you have to carry an extra set of strings in case.
I have snapped a couple strings behind this piece in the past, so.
Just loved that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks so much.
We thought the piece was so evocative, we decided to do a special music video with David, lit with candles and shot in a very quirky, moody place. It's up for everybody at fromthetop.org. David, people are always interested in how kids on this show decided to really commit themselves to music. And in your case, you feel your parents had the right touch.
Yeah, they took a slightly different approach than some parents do, but they were both extremely supportive and encouraging for my musical destinations, I guess I could say. And they never really forced me to practice hours on end a day. And I really think that was a great decision, because now when I practice, it's really just out of joy and love of music and the instrument.
Absolutely. Good for them. You talked about being an adrenaline junkie, but you had a major skiing accident as a result of your thrill seeking.
Yeah, well, on February 2nd of 2009, I was on a ski trip with some friends, and we were going down this ditch, which connected two slopes, and I hit a little bit of a bump. It landed pretty bad on my left leg. I ended up breaking my femur and had to go through 6 hours of surgery to insert 4 titanium screws. And it was quite a worry, as I broke it right next to the growth plate, so they needed to insert the screws right next to it. But we really lucked out, and I had made an amazing surgeon.
But you were on your back in the hospital for how long?
I was in the hospital for a week, then in a wheelchair for a couple months.
Yeah, I mean, before you got back to school, it must have been forever.
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 weeks before I was back at school.
Yeah. How about the guitar? You still had your guitar?
Yeah, luckily I was still able to play guitar. I just transferred my footstool to my right foot, and it was really amazing to have at that time, because at times it was very dark, not being able to be mobile and everything like that, but having the guitar and music there, it got me through.
I might take up skiing so I can practice more. David, I'm not going to say break a leg before you play this last piece. But this is a very cool arrangement for 4 trombones and guitar. To perform it, please, everybody, welcome back those 4 teenagers from Chicago, the Bone Rangers. This is an arrangement by Kim Scharnberg of Antonio Carlos Jobim's No More Blues. But David, you're the one who added the guitar part, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Good for you, my man. Well, this is a great way to end our show today. But before you all play, I want to thank all of our fabulous young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, David and the Bone Rangers, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with help from Mark Williams. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis, Chris Rando, and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Achtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.